everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Daryl.
And I'm very happy, and I'm Brownie.
Oh, well, we have a very special guest on today who already started off with a wardrobe malfunction, so that's...
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
So exactly happened? All I heard was my shoe.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I have these hobbit feet. You'd think they'd stay on, but they just gone with the wind. So,
oh, my goodness.
What are we going to do?
All right, well, okay. Hey, chat working.
Hi, nice. Gwen. How's it going?
Chris.
Wait, you were Chris,
professional, Chris.
Phone's on silent, Chris.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that me putting it on silent would mute that.
Here's what's exciting. Daryl is here, and from my point of view, I have seen Daryl work on his special item he brought with him today for the past couple years at least. So, Daryl, say a little bit about yourself, talk about your game, and just we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Daryl Davey, I've been working on a board game called All Hallows Eve for several years now, as you've mentioned, and I've put out little things here or there. But this year, I finally had it far enough along to where in the Halloween season, I'm able to bring it out, especially in 2020. We need to really liven things up. So I have a beta box here of All Hallows Eve, and it's a trick-or-treat-based horror game. So
awesome. Yeah. So Torrance, is it going to be on the same stream, Chris, or a new one? We're going to try to set up a table. And
so what we'll do is like we'll talk about it, and then we'll just do some other stuff or whatever, and then as we're winding down, we're gonna give basically like a 5-minute warning. We're gonna cut the stream and then start a new one.
Okay.
Because we gotta reset sort of like the tabletop space to really show off all the
all that glory. Juicy goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can't wait to get to that point. But it's awesome to have you on. I have known you for a long time, and then Kara, how do you know?
I was gonna say probably through youth group.
Yeah. So through Mimi and Isaac and
That's pretty cool. So both of us actually have known Daryl, and when we found out his game was coming out, we thought, oh, it'd be awesome to be able to have him on here and talk about it. So
actually, I'll pause just for a sec. Hello, Jarrett and Gabe.
Oh yeah. Gabe is one of our number one fans. Awesome. Ooh. Awesome person. So
well, you're talking trash about it before.
Yeah.
Don't ostracize our guest.
Okay, my bad.
He's like the all-seeing eye from Star Wars: The Force of Evil.
Oh, that's so funny. But that's awesome. So we have an awesome live audience here. But okay, so you started. When do you remember when you started on it? We said years, but
boy, I don't want to put an exact date on it because that makes me feel like I've been doing this for like way too long. I want to say about 2017.
Okay,
is when I had initially started. I had at the time had several pieces of things that I've done. I was working at that time on a game called Skirmish. It's kind of like a chessy type game, not hyper complicated, but just a fun rules light, because everything I had tried in the past either got complex or was just too much to really start pushing forward. And I had these little bits and pieces through the ethos, and one day I woke up, and it's like that Don't Wake Daddy game where he just like shoots out of bed.
Yes.
I don't know if I was even a dad at that. Yes, I was actually. My girls were around. So yes, it was a Don't Wake Daddy moment where I woke up and I was like, if I do this and I have that and I can have Halloween and it's just going to be perfect. And it just happened to work out where all these little pieces from these other games welded themselves together in my dream somehow. And I will say about 85% of what originally I had jotted down came to be in this game still.
Cool.
For the core found of it. So I'm excited to see how far it's come in those regards, but also a little narcissistically proud of myself how some of those base things really stuck with it. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
That is so we do Lego videos and we have the channel, and starting something and continuously working at it, it's hard to keep up and not like throw in the towel. Chris and I have had what direction we want to go, what do we want to keep working on, and mm-hmm. we make changes constantly, but we're still going hard at it. So it's really cool to you've got all these other ideas, and to be able to culminate them into one thing is really cool. I've heard we had Gwen on a week or two ago.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. Gwen has her channel Stuff Lab, mm-hmm. and I heard you brought it there first.
Yeah.
And you got to do some things there, so that's really exciting. So I can't wait. Chris and I both held off
learning
about it.
Yeah, we decided we wanted a fresh experience.
The will is strong. With
it
these.
Is. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm proud of both of you.
Yeah, so I'm excited. And then we're both...
I did ask Gwen what she rated it out of 10. Just like, I was like, give me your honest opinion. And I
if it's not 13 out of 10 for the joke.
Well, you're just... she said that it was a freaking awesome game.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool.
So, and that was without the pressure of anybody around to be able to hear outside of me. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, thank you for that. It's a great rating. I'll dig that.
So, okay, so you have a prototype there.
Yep.
And you have made a limited amount of prototypes. Are those all gone?
Yes. They're all sold. They're all sold out.
Nice.
Hotcakes. So I was doing a run of 20.
Okay.
And really where it's at is it's aesthetics. It's bells and whistles that to make it shelf ready. Other than that, it's a fully formed game at this point. I have Jeffrey working on my 3D art right now. I've got some stand-ins for the monsters. I did all the trick-or-treaters myself. I did the art. I had a buddy revamp up my tiles and stuff. So it's solid. I work out of my workshop in the basement and do the printing and the figures. Just yesterday I was working away, laminating my brains out, going through 150 tiles, getting those laminated. My wife is a very patient girl. The yard's looking kind of rough, bud. But you keep playing your game down there. So, but yeah, those all went. And I'm a bit pressed for time, to be honest. Sean Zarn, the guy who had bought my very first one, was the guy who really pushed me to say, do it this year.
Right.
You know, stop messing around. Just finally plug it in. We need something this Halloween.
Right.
So to be able to bring that to people, even if it's not where I had wanted to be, there's a lot of love. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's all handmade at this point where you're getting a cool... still a really cool piece of game and part of the game history if this does progress farther than this. But
can you imagine having like a beta copy of Monopoly or something like that?
Right.
Absolutely.
That's what this is just my thought. It's like, I wish I had copy 13 of 20 of the first run.
Oh.
That would be the choice copy to have.
And I am trying to find a way of how to send these out. And I don't know if I want to pick my favorites, you know,
yeah.
And send, you know, like, oh, I liked you the best, so you get
right.
copy 13. So I might number them and then, you know, just seal it up,
right?
Ship it out, and then whoever gets lucky number 13, you're really the, you know, you might want one or you might want 20, but 13's
right.
really...
That's what
that's
I think.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, that's the choice.
Yeah.
But you have to send them out on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, jeez. By that point, they wouldn't reach anybody with the postal system.
Right.
Oh,
gosh.
These days.
Yeah.
That's true.
It'd be Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my biggest concern. Is I've had people, there's one guy out in Beijing, Mark B., friend of mine from college, and we're working on that. We're going to see if that makes it or not. But we have Arizona. Oh, is that me?
Is that you?
They shouldn't be. It is. So,
shame.
And I shut it off. So that's my Svengoolie alarm. So that's what I'm missing to be here. Tonight is The Blob, which is one of my absolute favorite horror flicks. So you're all welcome. The sacrifices I have to make for you.
We thank you.
Yes. I know.
Gwen said she got the best one. She got the signed beta copy.
Yep. She did. She got,
nice.
And she's got one of two sets of the, like, so now we're going to work into the semantics. The demo cards. Because I was supposed to go to, this might be the first time I'm talking about on live, DeLucon. I was invited out there by a couple different folks contacting me to come and try and do that. And they're still, I think, working on some stuff, so I don't want to speak for them and say what's going on.
Well,
but
we're part of it.
Oh!
We help plan it.
Well,
try to talk to Phil, Amy, Mimi, Josh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We're on the Duel Council.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you are very well aware.
Yeah.
So Now I feel silly. I should have known that. Everybody says we'll talk to them. You are the them then. I now realize.
It's all good. I feel like nobody actually knows who's behind.
No, you're the puppet masters. Yeah, exactly. You're pulling the strings behind.
Right. Everybody sees what happens, but not who's doing it.
What I consistently say is, when it comes to doing creative stuff in this area, it's a very small world. Once you get into it, it's like, oh, you do that? Oh, that's right. You. And it's just like the same 30 people in charge of doing everything creative in the area.
Yeah.
Right.
It's insane. It's absolutely crazy. So are you going to be able to release a copy to the public? Would you have any time frame on that?
That's the hope. As of right now, I want to get these out, see people think like they... Whoever's getting these are really my like my final testers in my mind, where they any weird thing that comes up I can check on and I'll have a little bit of time. I'm hoping to get the word out, maybe some to go through somebody. You know, I've shopped it around a little bit here or there. You know, people have said Kickstarter and this and that. It's difficult at this point to where what do you sacrifice? Do you sacrifice your creative power over it? Like, do you hand your baby off to somebody? Because the last thing I want this to become is Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, some branded thing. Or do I just continue to work through my house? And whenever I have a little bit of extra income and kind of be able to push something out and do what I'm doing now, which is almost a low form of Kickstarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it is, it's just all of my workshop. I know this is a time I have. I can make this much.
Right.
You know, if you're able to prepay me beforehand, you'll get this by this time. And it keeps it personal, which I think is big.
Right.
You know, but that's not to say I wouldn't hope to get with somebody so I can get this much bigger. There's a couple of places here and there that I may make copies for, and they'll sell it out. There's a few in River Falls and...
Okay.
Out and about, so perhaps I'll just do local business workshop stuff.
If I recall correctly, there's a in Superior, there's a place like a board game place that has like released a couple of decent titles that you might want to get a hold of.
Ah, I will check that out. I know there was a few that I had talked to, and then something big in the world happened. I can't remember what exactly it was, but. Yeah, something happened where a lot of the correspondence I was having
dropped. The wide Putin meme.
Yeah. Yeah, if you will.
Shut the world down.
Something. Yeah, it's at the tip of my tongue, you know? It's weird.
Do you have any like contact info you want to give out to somebody if they wanted to get a hold of you about it?
I mean, currently right now, it is as personal as it gets. Daryl Davey, you can find me on Facebook. Okay. I'm hoping to do a webpage eventually. Again, once I'm done with this run, that's when I'm going to start going. Because like I said, I wasn't anticipating giving it out at this point.
Right, absolutely.
So I hadn't gotten to like the marketing end of things. But right now, Daryl Davey, so D-A-R-R-E-L-L, Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, on Facebook. I'll try to throw my Mischief character back up as my profile picture again. Perfect. So anybody who wants some of that information, you can just contact me directly on there.
Yeah.
And anybody who's watching, not live, we'll have links in the description. You can click on that. You can go ahead and reach out to him.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. Or, Chris, you can also write us at contact.
Oh,
Rise of the Podcast. And that
Please send Jeremy mail. He's getting sad again.
And I will forward you Daryl's information as well. We have a cool little graphic that comes up. There we go.
Nice little lower third.
The button doesn't work half the time.
Hey, you got a lower third, use it, right?
Yeah, right. So that's pretty fun. So all right. Here's what we've learned. We'll just shoot the breeze. We tell a lot of stories here.
Sure.
And Chris and I, we will dial down the effort on the production and make sure the quality is all the way there. We will work.
That's what
hard
you walked in on today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will work really hard on stuff. And the one thing that has been helping us out a lot, when you get to the point you can handle that, is promotion.
Yeah.
And so everything I've learned about it is the amount of work you put into the thing that you're working on, you have to put that same amount of work into promotion. And it's hard. It's really tough.
The thing that I always have to remember is like McDonald's and Walmart and Nike and Starbucks, the biggest brands in the world. Still advertise, right?
I've like learned about major stuff that's going on just purely from advertisements.
So it's
new
like,
movies that are coming, everything.
Yeah, like who are we to think that it's like, oh, we shouldn't advertise? It's like if McDonald's has to advertise to sell a hamburger, we should probably put a couple ads out.
I had, and maybe this will spoil some fun, but I had an idea originally of how I wanted to stir up a little motion around this where I was going to cast coins with the logo on them.
Cool.
And leave them throughout tip jars and leave them in just random places.
Oh, dude.
So, and it'd be, you know, numbered, you know, one of 113 or what have you. And not say anything. All it would be is this weird, right, you know, logo or, you know, this.
The little gorilla marketing symbol campaign.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, like, oh, I found this in here. And then other people might start talking about it and then just set up a stand outside, like we're like right next to the vegetable girls or whatever. Just with this Kabbalistic symbol above me. And I'm like, I've got that coin. That little man there has this. Yeah. And just get a little bit of town myth. Like, what's this? I found this coin too. This is weird. What does it mean? You know, so I thought about releasing it into the wild. But again, just with the way things went, did not go that route. But I might still do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. If you ever want to learn about using like Google to do any ads and stuff like that, we have dialed. I have learned a ton over the course of the past year and a half.
Yeah,
we really dialed it down. But I have a funny story about it.
I'm gonna pause you real quick. Gwen says you're bringing back the Pog.
And that's what I laughed at. I was like,
you're just handing out free slammers at this point.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Hey, if I become responsible for bringing the Pog craze back, man. That's the real win. I can just throw this away. This has all been a scheme to get Pogs back. Yeah.
That's the longest con. There,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness. So here's our funny ad stories. There's so on YouTube, Facebook promotion is really easy. It's really easy to run promotions through Facebook. But YouTube's a little trickier because you have to use Google Ads, and then you can make your video appear in like Google search results or YouTube search results, or you can do placements on specific channels and dialing all that down. It's been really like. Learning that's been tricky now that I know it's really simple once you start to learn it. But we found like what's really effective is to find content similar to ours and only run our ads for the Lego channel on just that content. Because then that way people who watch that stuff, you already know enough about them that they might like.
It takes care of your demographics for you.
Yeah. Right.
It's literally the people that you want to watch that are already going there to watch similar content.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is a funny story.
So, we have this, we're like, all right, I talked to Chris. It's like, let's do a couple dollars a video and we'll just start promoting, right? And so the typical one we do is just a little display ad in the corner and it just suggests our thumbnail on these channels that we picked and then that's it, right? So one of them, I got an email from this company and they're like, hey, here's a really good tip. You can do the pre-roll ad. So when you go to a YouTube video and you see the little pre-roll ad, you can do one of those and it's like the same cost. If they skip it, you don't have to pay at all. The impression's free. If they watch, you don't pay until they watch 30 seconds or click to see more about you. And when they click, they go to your channel. Mm. So I picked a video and I just sent it. So I was like, all right, we're going to use this video. We'll just let it play. If people like what they see, they're good to go. If they don't, they skip the ad. It's no cost to us. Free impressions. It's perfect, right? So it took like a day and a half. And last night at like 11 o'clock, we got an email. Kara got an email. She's like, your ad disapproved? And so I went and read her email, and...
You should pull it up, because the exact verbiage is the hilarious
part. It's funny.
All right. It's very aggressive.
Oh.
As we say, it's like the top of my... Okay,
so it says, Google Ads Policy Manager. You have a disapproved ad. warning. Video campaign 1-1 blah 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 has been disapproved due to violating our policy for sensitive events. So please check our list of sensitive events. So I clicked it. And scrolling through, you want me to read the...
Yeah, what are the different sensitive events that we might have triggered?
So here's the normal list here. It's inappropriate, dangerous, or derogatory.
Everybody knows we're so inappropriate about those butts.
Yeah.
animal cruelty, hacked political material, or new as a temporary sensitive event is COVID. Google is monitoring the impact of the coronavirus and COVID situation and are taking the necessary steps to maintain a safe advertising ecosystem. So I called Chris and I was like, dude, Kylo Ren's build got flagged as being sensitive. It's us putting together Legos. That build, we built it way back in March.
Yep.
When it was, people were, you know,
that was like the miss. Yeah. Lockdown is probably going to happen.
When I tried my live event at Legacy Toys, so the mall was just crickets. I was like, cool beans.
So
anyway,
thanks fate.
Yeah.
Right.
So Kara and I almost broke a piece or something. And all I simply said was, oh man, if we didn't have this piece and it broke, we'd have to go out in COVID and get another one. That's literally all we said, and Google they completely
clipped it.
And so I'm thinking what happened is that, like, a bot scans all the audio, turns it into text, and then they just have a, nope, can't have that text word out there. They don't care if it's true, false, indifferent.
Yeah,
so. But it's completely out of context. Like, I'm not trying to say COVID is real or fake or anything like that.
Oh.
All I was doing was like, man, we'd have to go out and brave COVID to get another set.
Yeah, well, yeah, because yeah. There's another build that we did that it still hasn't come out yet from January.
That's right.
Where, and it's in the channel trailer and stuff, so you can see this moment. Where we give Jeremy some Duplos after he makes a mistake on the build.
Best thing ever.
It's pretty hilarious. So in the video that we tried running as an ad, he's referencing that. He's like, you guys are going to have to go and brave COVID to get me more Duplos.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
So, and that's literally, so like, we're referencing a video that hasn't come out yet that we recorded 9 months ago.
Jeez.
At the very beginning of the thing. And it's just like, how insane of a combination of things had to happen for that to happen.
For you to get flagged by.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because Jeremy's reading me this, and I was like, what on earth do they think that we did? And then I was just like running through. It's like, it has to be one of the cutaways. Obviously, the time lapse part itself isn't violating anything.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, what did they say? And it's like, oh, he probably, when he says, we have to do the whole Duplo thing. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Unless Google Ads just hates Duplo.
Oh, Gabe says, let's stop saying the C word because they might shut our stream down.
That's a good point. I started to sweat over here. I was like, oh boy, someone's going to bring up Harambe and we're out. That's two. You guys are done.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Guys are just going to reference it as Rona.
Yeah.
The Rona.
Da Rona.
VidCon 19.
Whoa, you
funny,
bad.
funny. So,
oh man.
A little. So, also, I heard you talking about too. So, you used to do video stuff.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, yeah.
Sorry,
digging up the past.
Gwen said, "Dub it over at Walmart."
We'll have to go to Walmart to get more stuff. Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Pretty soon they're going to be talking about Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then everyone laughs. So I used to do some film work. I worked out of Hudson for a while, did some sound and light tech out of Woodbury, various events with some of my buddies, filmed some stuff with my buddy Ben Veneer, weddings and whatnot.
Oh, fun.
And just, just all sorts of different things. I didn't do a lot of for fun filming after college. I had originally gone to, gonna plug River Falls, to revitalize the horror industry.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
At that time, we were coming out of the aughts, and it was just sucky and for horror movies. It was just abysmal. There was a few good ones, you know, like you get like Pontypool or Leslie Vernon Behind the Mask, like some real golden, like lower budget ones, but any of the big ones were just garbage. So I'm like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to catch the essence of like the 50s drive-in or...
Absolutely.
You know, anything like that. And a friend of mine, Michael Norman Gale, he does a lot of really like campy sci-fi and horror ones. He's been doing that for quite some time. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, he's doing that. And like, it'll be good. And then just life sidetracked you. You know, you get a normal gig.
Oh, yeah.
I went with everyone else getting a camera. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get an editing computer. So then I don't have to be at the editing bay. Then my friends can send me their videos. I can edit. It'll be this nice little thing. And everyone's like, we're going to be a team forever. And then, like, as we did that, we all spun away. I'd pop around and do that. But it's kind of single man's life, you know, where in the cities I had twins. And they're a handful, literally. And I just didn't feel good being like, oh, yeah, you know, this film's going to go until scheduled till 6,
right.
You know, hour pickup. It's, you know, it's never that. If it says it's an 8-hour event, it's a 12-hour event.
Right.
Easily. And there was one I had gone and filmed some maple syrup making with this group of guys. And I had a cell phone connection. We're middle of the woods, and oh, we're actually going to stay for a lot longer than we anticipated. I'm like, I got one pair of underwear and a wife that doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, gone.
You are not prepared for this.
No. You can only turn those things inside out so many times. So
right.
That was kind of that point where I was like, you know, slowly back down. You know, I do things here and there. I've been helping with the local theater department of high school. Musicals
awesome.
And stuff. I was going to direct this year, and then again, I just can't remember.
Man,
Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart happened in the
arts.
Killing the arts.
Yeah. Got him. anything to keep the little guy down, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, and I, having moved back, it's opened stuff up. The job I currently have, I have the schedule of a high school student, which is legit. I used to get snow days, I used to get nights and weekends off, so that's where a lot of my extra time came in to where I could start working on this again or working on some more passion projects. So, but really, most all of that has been set aside for the last few years for this, which is fine because I do really, really enjoy the aspect of creating these sort of things. So
absolutely. That's super cool. Yeah, no, that was a fun thing that we could totally relate to because I've worked on video projects with Chris all the way back from high school, on and off again over the years, helped him with a couple projects while he was in college. But you gave me some PTSD for a second when you talked about maple syrup. Cause he made me do a shoot with honey.
It
was a nightmare. Honey crackers.
Yep, that's a classic video.
Oh, man. It's super funny.
If you find that on the internet, good luck.
It's out there. What's the SEO optimization for honey crackers?
Pretty much
on YouTube?
Zero, I'm pretty sure.
Here's the thing. I'm going to find it. And I'm going to post it to Rise of the Podcast.
You are so funny, Kara.
And everybody's going to see honey crackers and Jeremy just take a jar of honey and just go all over his face because it's hilarious.
Oh, man. It's a parody of infomercials.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the problem that you have is always so extreme. Like, like if you're selling a vacuum, you know, normally it would show in an infomercial somebody's using their
but
vacuum.
But then you accidentally suck up your cat.
I was going to say, and you accidentally suck up your cat.
Yes!
I was going to say that. Yes!
I was trying
to think of an extreme example that would just like crush your day. Be like, oh, I got to get a new vacuum.
Man,
sucked
I need
up
to find
Garfield
that vacuum
again.
And suck up Simba.
You know, the tail sticking out. But I don't know if you'd be able to suck up Toby, Chris.
No, well, I mean, he's pretty much vacuum proof.
He's pretty much a dog. I mean, he's the size of a small dog.
Gabe, you better not.
What?
Nothing. He didn't say anything.
Gabe, I'll find it and I'll send it to you, Gabe.
I washed it like 3 days ago. It's not that bad.
No, it's just
my favorite part's the tag at the end of the film when he does.
Oh yeah, I love that. Please come in and subscribe.
Please
come
in. And
I
subscribe.
Might find other videos that Gabe can post to.
No, how the about Latin? Not? I'm going to send you to Puerto Rico, Kara.
Dudes, I will go to Puerto Rico. Like I know winter's coming. Yeah, I will go to Puerto Rico.
There was one shoot I was doing. We were doing one of those Doritos Super Bowl commercials. I don't know if you guys ever tried your hand at that.
I've done one.
I helped out a friend do that. I got sucked up by aliens.
Oh,
because they wanted my Doritos.
Oh, we talking about weird things though, right? Like,
yeah.
It was one of those moments where I'm wondering how did I get here? You know, like someone cut to me and it's like, let me explain. I am on a child's potty with my swim trunks on, with another man pouring lukewarm water on me slowly as I'm rubbing my face and Doritos are being poured down. And I had to be in the potty so I could get in the shot. It was supposed to be this guy like drooling on me because every time I opened the Doritos bag, he would drool. And that's how I was paying the water bill for the month because he didn't pay. But it was like one of those things where I'm like, oh, this is all fun. And then like I just saw myself from the outside. Oh. I'm like, I'm getting filmed in a shower with just like standing on this potty it was just the strangest little bit of events. I'm like, no one knows that on the film side. Like they see the shot. They're like, okay, whatever. It's fine. But the things you have to do to get these shots are insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Gwen just post Honeycrackers?
No, she didn't. Don't click on any links that you see from anybody
Everybody
in the chat.
Everybody go to chat right now and click on that link.
Anyways, all right.
You're taking away views.
No, I just wanted to talk I'm in the military, and I got to watch the Coast Guard do a cool exercise and lift a guy out of the water with a helicopter and all this crazy stuff. In the background, I was like, if only these guys knew that I put Legos together on the side.
Like, they think you were sweet.
I play with plastic bricks. I have an existential like crisis about it.
If you're ever
what am
found
I doing?
Out.
Yeah, yeah, what am I doing with my life? You know?
We are having fun. We are living our
no,
best
so
life.
No, so one of the guys just told a story about how he rescued somebody out of 40-foot waves.
Yeah.
And I was like, man,
that's so cool.
Okay,
yeah,
here's the
and you
thing.
You walked in and I'm just dumping Legos on a table. It's gonna be cool.
If you were rescuing people from 40-foot waves and you know you in a dangerous situation, wouldn't you want to go home, just whip some Legos together and just relax?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Legos are
just
awesome.
Just saying. I
not
mean,
gonna lie.
I mean, I have the most dangerous job of all of us here, and I definitely like relaxing with Legos. It's not dangerous at all. I make TV commercials.
But I just,
I guess I just do more of this.
So. I just thought it was fun because it was like what happened here is like the slider there, I bought that 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, that's probably close.
The camera I bought in 2011. Chris's mass stuff, you know, it's like we've
it's a little accumulation bit, over a lifetime.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's funny that we have massed it into this, but we were doing a Lego build one day. And
Gwen says everyone needs a safe hobby to offset the potential of death.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming for us all. Don't worry.
But yeah, we were shooting a Lego build one day and Chris priced it out and he's like, we're spending X amount of dollars to film a Lego shoot, you know? It was just really funny.
Like, if for some reason somebody just wanted, they started with nothing and they're like, we want to shoot the exact same thing that you just did. Yeah. It's like the amount of money that they had to spend would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, you talk about like, like overkill or whatever. It's like, you could not get more overkill than what we're doing.
Seriously? We overproduce the heck out of our content.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Well, that's good, though. It shows dedication and effort to the cause.
It's fun. I'm glad you get to come down here and see it.
This is gnarly. Yeah, I am really excited to be in studio. This is really awesome.
It's fun to have a creative space that's away from your house.
Jim said that his creative hobby to stay off the potential of death is necromancy. Oh, Hashtag death ain't got me down.
Oh, my gosh. Jim.
You know Jim Mallory? James Mallory.
Yeah. Okay. Then yes.
So okay, I think they're around the same age.
Yeah.
Thing. So
why are you doing this when you say age?
Because I'm the oldest person here, and then I'm just like filtering back and forth between the ages of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like you can't really see me, so I just need to do something so you know that I'm back here.
Well, and speaking of like the appearance, like I get that dread of like, what am I doing? Like, this isn't a normal job. This isn't something that somebody like just does. I'm like in my basement, like, oh, I'm gonna put my Millie putt together and kind of slide some more stuff through the printer so someone can play a board game. And I'm like, every once in a while I just have this breakdown of like, what do I think I'm doing? Like, wouldn't taxes be cool? Like, couldn't I do something good? But like, it is like this to me, the Legos, you're bringing stuff to people who they either need a break or they need to be shown it's okay to relax and be youthful. And that's coming from a 5'2 individual. Like, I'm mistaken for a child so often that, like, I just accepted my fate. And I'm like, I'm in the toy store and I'm like, yep, I'm going to go down the toy aisle. If I shave, nobody knows. It's fine.
You know, well, so talking about bringing things back, somebody brought a hacky sack to work like 2 weeks ago. We have been playing so much hacky sack in our downtime. It's unbelievable. It's fun.
Well, what do they call it now, Jeremy?
Well, foot bag, but.
What?
Yeah. It is now called foot bag.
Oh.
Not hacky sack, foot bag.
And if you do a stall, that's a hack.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool. Thanks. So what if somebody this year couldn't get any worse?
Yeah, right?
You find out that they renamed our childhood game foot bang.
You know what it reminds me of? So I'm speaking of doing like live stream stuff, the platform that this stream is built on, I initially had constructed for doing hockey games for a local high school.
Sure.
And I was watching him do one of the games, and I always prayed for not overtime because I just wanted to get out of it.
Basketball? I hated filming. Oh. Okay, go on. Sorry. Yeah.
So we end up getting an overtime game. I'm like, dang it. Right? And then the guy makes the announcement, like, we're going to move into, and I'm waiting for the words, sudden death. No, it's now sudden victory overtime.
Oh my gosh.
We talked about this. I told you how angry I was that it can't be.
Were you there?
You'd called me and told me.
We were supposed to come and meet to do the podcast on a Friday or something. I got held up an hour from sudden victory overtime.
That's stupid.
It's unbelievable.
Lame. Sudden death, yo.
Yeah, well, there's no sudden victory. Right? It sounds like you're like, oops, I won.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
It doesn't sound like something you tried to do.
Yeah, you didn't like spinal rip somebody. Oh, sorry, Mortal Kombat, but you know.
Finish.
Oh, man.
The things that they change. If they were to rename, so we talked about Pogs earlier.
Yeah.
If they were to rename Pogs, what do you think they would call them nowadays? Cardboard?
Slappies.
Slappy discs? No, that's too violent, though.
That's true. That is far too violent.
They have to call them, like, flippy discs.
Flippy discs?
Disc hug.
disc hug.
Yeah, you use a hugger and then you hug the discs.
Oh my god!
And try to wrangle them.
Man, if they rename Pogs to anything else, I'm just that'll
Fortnite frisbees. Just to get that brand name in there.
Out of the blue, somebody on Xbox Live messaged me that I haven't played with since 2005, but he's still been on my friend's list to play Fortnite. And I don't play Fortnite. I play PUBG if I have to play a Battle Royale game. Yeah. Although I really want to try Fall Guys, but I haven't tried that
yet. Fall Guys looks fun.
It does look fun.
Boss, speaking of relating to kids, I work with children, and I run like all sorts of games, index card RPG style. We call it Realm Guard and whatnot. So cool. Like using those like role-playing games to help these kids build social skills and stuff. And she's like, hey, we need to, like, the kids are talking, and she said, the Fortnite. She's like,
gosh.
The kids are talking about the Fortnite, and we need to have someone who kind of, like, knows it, relates it. At the only time, I was the only, like, young male there. And so an actual job assignment for my boss was to go play some Fortnite. And I'm not, like, a big video game guy, and I was like, you know, my wife's just struggling with the kids. I'm like, honey, this is work. You know, like, my boss told me I had to come home and do this.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I
pwn
wish.
These noobs, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it was. So I played Fortnite for a hot second.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
You know, I'm more of an, if it is anything, I liked Overwatch.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge video game guy. Like to be with people. I played a bit. If I do, it's a solo game, Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon is probably the thing I get most competitive for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got some Digimon games, me and like three other people, you know, because got to keep it alive. The card game, finally got the English announcement yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so anybody who's excited in that, hit me up. I need friends to play Digimon with.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Daryl Davey on Facebook.
Daryl Davey on Facebook. Desperate.
Desperate for friends.
Yeah.
Daryl Davey.
Yeah. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, and they promise it's super hot in Japan right now, and they have promised it's not the same crappy one that came to America eons ago. So we have a legitimate game now, which
cool.
is so choice.
Speaking of games, Gabe says Fall Guys will make you have a love-hate relationship with a side of rage quit.
Oh, does Gabe you play Fall Guys?
He literally plays everything.
I'm jealous. PC or PS4? He's got to be PC, I guess.
If he's PS4, I'd be surprised.
He's got an Xbox. He's on my friend on Xbox.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Jim had mentioned in the chat a little bit earlier a game that he and I were working on, speaking of creating games, with a whole, just like briefly, it's not nearly as far along as yours, but it's a card-based game where you're a blacksmith and you're trying to create the best weapon possible.
I remember seeing some prototype photos he put up.
Yep.
When I was doing that really, really early, he had like this spread across his table of things. So
he and I were working on that.
Awesome. How has that been coming along for you guys?
Intermittent, basically.
And,
like,
and that's what's taken this so long as it is. It's a process.
But the core mechanics that we think are sort of worked out, and we've done like very, very, very light sort of play testing, but not even to the point where it's like we played a full game even. But,
okay. Hey, though, I mean, that's... That's still better than nothing, though. You're going somewhere.
We're
with
slightly
it.
Further along than people who've never done it before, so we can say that.
You put more thought into maybe if I just roll these dice and move something, that's a board game.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
or
true.
Or a card game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got to step two.
Yeah. Step four is profit, so.
You're close, Chris.
We're halfway there.
Yeah.
You're halfway there. As just a quick, so you like board games.
Yeah.
Right? That's your thing. So, Kara's cousin, every holiday that we get to be around him, he always shows us a new game or gives us a game as a gift. So some of the games he's introduced us to is, because I'm not a huge board gamer. I love them. I just don't know a lot to play, but he introduced us into Dominion.
Awesome. Okay.
Love Dominion.
Ooh, yes.
King Domino, which was really fun if you haven't tried that one.
I have not tried that
you
one.
You need
King
to
Domino's
try that
King
one.
King Domino's
that
a good one.
That one's awesome. Okay. Have you heard of Hanabi?
Hanabi.
Yeah, yes.
That one's really fun.
Yeah.
Firework game. That
what's another
cool.
one that David has introduced us to that we loved?
Oh, gosh. I feel like there's been so many. And I can't think of more.
Well, I need to take a second to talk about King Domino. So really quickly, you have a 5x5 grid, which makes 25 spaces.
Sure.
You deal Math. Out, there's kingdom tiles, and there's a king in the center, so you actually only have 24 spaces to play with. But you have a little stack of these tiles. They're all face down, and each one has a number on the back. And the number is kind of like the weight. And if you have four people, you deal out four tiles face down. And then if you pick, you take your little guy and you flip everyone over. And then whoever goes first, once that's decided for the first round, you put your little guy out there, and then that's the tile you get. And what you do is there's three or four different types of terrain. There's plain, water, woods, and
there's like,
swamp, I think. And there's like a mine terrain.
There's a mining too. One too.
And so some pieces have a crown on them.
Okay.
And so what you do is you can only put the dominoes so that the matching terrain is there. The kingdom is wild. So that establishes that some are mixed tiles. And what you try to do is you try to expand your terrain, so that you get as much terrain as you can touching.
Sure.
And the most crowns you can in that terrain. And the crowns act as a multiplier. So if you get 8 playing fields and 3 crowns, that's 24 points. And you get a little 5x5 grid to do it. So then better pieces, the ones with the more crowns,
yeah,
when they're face down, that weighted number, those go towards the end. So if you want that tile and you go first, and sure, you pick fourth next time. So if you take a good tile, you pick later on. If you pick a like non-crown tile, you get to keep going first. And so there's strategy there. It's really, really fun, and it's very affordable. Target, I think, even sells it.
Oh, okay.
So, Target has it. It's
Legacy Toys, otherwise I would almost absolutely have it.
So anyways, I had it somewhere where I was going. Do you have any games you recommend? Like your favorite games that's not All Hallows Eve?
Yeah, well...
just curious, because
only... Only All Hallows Eve. there can only be one. Yes, so first and foremost, the game that like really started, and I can blab on about this later, but Zombies by Twilight Creation was like what hit me into board games when I was younger, where it dawned on me that it could be more than Uno, Monopoly.
Right.
So they, and I would say like there's a lot of love letters to even that in this. It's a fun, it's a really easy, quick game.
Cool.
I know zombies are overplayed. This was before zombies were cool.
But zombie hipster over here.
Yeah. Hey, I will stake that flag. I have proof. I will hipster. I got my plaid. I've got my trimmed mustache. I don't. But I'll pretend I've got one.
Well,
under
no,
here.
We absolutely believe you because there's no way for us to confirm it.
Yeah, you can't disprove it. I've got my craft beer in here that they only sold one of. I went to a concert in the woods that you only know about if you follow Clues, but you know, it's nothing.
You rode your one wheel there.
My one wheeler, yeah.
Oh
my
gosh. My
handlebar got caught in it, but whatever. It's... Anyways, so that is one that really started me. That got me to go, oh, there can be stories in games. There can be more to it than did I win or did I lose.
Mm-hmm.
Star Realms is a card game. There's also, I can't remember, the Hero Realm. Which has like different ways to play, but Star Realms is a spaceship building game. The art's wonderful. They've got all sorts of expansions, and it's just really quick. It's a deck building game. It's cheap. I think most even like local hobbyist stores would probably have it. I think you could set yourself up for under $15.
To
15.
That
you can
is
get
affordable.
A couple. Yeah, and that's only if you want to like get like a lot.
Right.
Like a two player one is maybe $10-$12. Definitely super fun, really rules light. Like I've taken some of the like the more complex things out because again I play with students a lot, but it's just good, quick fun. The art is there. Going back, my wife and I, we even just like King's Court and Othello. I mean, are just like more just basic board games, but they're a blast. They're a hoot.
Yeah.
King of Tokyo is a real big hit with the kids.
I have played that one.
Yes.
It's been a while, but I've played that one.
It's one of those ones that sits on my shelf and I love it when I get it out, but it's not one that I remember to always grab off of the shelf.
Right.
But I love it every time I play. It's really, really fun.
Have you played, is it Small World that we have?
Yeah, we have Small
World.
No,
but I've seen it. I have come close. There's one similar in style to Small World. Dice City.
Okay.
Setup's a pain in the butt. Like, it is the one thing that stops that game from getting onto the table. But Dice City's a super fun, like, management game. And but similar in that kind of cutesy style.
It's confusing. Like, I remember we tried playing it, just you and me, and we were reading the instructions, and we were like, what now? Like,
right.
I've played it before.
Yeah.
But it had been a few years from us playing it to us buying it. And remembering how to play it.
Yeah, getting, like, that's key for me. Because, like, I'm not, like, I spend all my money. And I'm, like, I'm a bit of a snob. I'm, like, I'm not going to get that one. I can see it. So, And I don't always hop on a lot of the trends and this and that, but like I have my niche requirements that I usually do. And one of the things is either quick setup if I can. And this one is one of those where I wish it would go faster because it's one of those things that keeps board games off the table. And then rules explanations. If I can remember 80 to 90% of the rules and maybe we can fudge through the first game and then go, oh, that's right, we did that wrong, it's fine, and get back to it.
Right.
That's good. But if you have to go, all right, let's check through the rules or all this.
You guys
changed.
Got a manual this thick.
Yeah. And I mean, even with my rule book, that's been something I've tried to do where I think people might get syllabus shock a little bit looking at mine, but most of it is me just stopping people from doing stupid stuff. Like the game itself is simple, but I have to have a lot of semantics in there for someone who's like, well, technically your card says this.
I will tell you what, so my job is driven by instruction.
Yeah.
It's very important that you have, it's called the TO, it's a technical order, and it is what
of course
you
they
do.
Have to have a fancy name for their instructions. Yes, can't just call it directions, gotta call it technical order.
It's a technical order, and it is verbatim, it tells you how to do any step of the job that you need to do, and there's still people who interpret it differently. So we have changes that have to get posted, and blah, 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 but it is amazing what somebody can read and how they interpret it.
It's
unbelievable. And so one of the first time, so I'm a trainer now, so I train people on this material, and it's like, I'll go tell them something and then they do something completely opposite. And it's like, how did you come up with that? But a funny story when I was new is we have these, they're called a cutter. And what happens is when the pin gets pulled, a little tiny explosive cuts the string and it opens up the kit.
Okay.
So that's how the contents fall out and starts a whole chain reaction of cool stuff that saves a person's life. Anyways.
That's not important. Life-saving things, not important. Let me talk about this other thing.
There's minor ways. Explosions are cool. Continue.
There's two things that hold that thing together. It gets tacked on or sewn on with thread, and then there's a little tiny clip that just pops off, and the cutter slides in and out, right? So my boss told me back in the day, he's like, all you need to do is just remove the cutter and check it to make sure it matches the paperwork. So serial number's correct, it's not expired, blah, blah, blah. And so what I did is I cut the 6 strings that are sewn on and just removed the entire thing. And he came back in and he goes, what did you do? And I said, you said remove the cutter. And he goes, no, the cutter, not the whole thing. You know, because I cut the whole thing. All I had to do was take the little clip off and it would have been done and put it back. So I had to re-sew that thing back on and attach it. It takes a while because it's like...
Little 17-year-old Jerbin.
Yeah. Younger me working on it. But
long flowing hair and no common sense.
And so there's just it's just one example of like a way that, you know, you lay out what you think are specific instructions and how people can still I'm pretty sure they mean this.
It is,
you know, so
utterly baffling sometimes when I'm like, I don't know why your shoes are off and you're eating mayonnaise, but that's not what the card says. They're like, well, it said may and it maybe it said if, and I'm like,
oh my goodness. There's specific
The may
there's verbiage where you may do this or you will do this. We argue over that. Like, no, may means it's optional and will means you will do it. I don't know. Like, oh man, it's unbelievable. Well,
speaking of games, a game that I have played a lot of, Magic the Gathering.
I've heard of that one.
So very you have to know like you're talking like may things versus like things that always happen versus whatever and blah blah blah. And there's so much like you're talking about like semantic like.
It
derivation
is.
To figure out whether or not, and like to the point where like if there's two things that are similarly worded, it depends on like which sphere of influence that occupies, and you just like have to know it. It's like, oh, this occupies sphere C, so it overrides that because of da 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 da. And it's like you have to just have a college degree in the rules of this game to understand how some of these interactions work.
Well, when it's like, oh, first strike and double strike, if a creature with first strike and double strike goes against something with like death touch, and you're like, I mean, like you know it. But you're still going to have to double check it every time because you're like, what's that layer? Who dies? When do they die? Does this spell activate? Can I cancel it? So what I, speaking of Magic, I got hot into Magic early, like end of high school, early college, and went for a while, Innistrad for life, and got my buddies into it, and that was a bad choice because they have spent lots of money into it, and I have slowly like faded out. I started up X-Wing for a while, playing X-Wings. Love that game. That's a fun one. And I have recently just been burning all of my magic cards to send smoke signals to get the Digimon card game to notice to come to England. And it worked. So that's, again, another plug. I'm looking for players. But I do love magic, but that is so big. And as a board game person, it's so nice to have a cultural touchstone where anybody has had some tangential like relation to magic at some point, right, where you can say, this is kind of like a red-black move.
Yeah.
You know, or this is like, this role is kind of like a white-blue player thing to do, and people...
I actually get that reference.
I do. Yeah, right. You're like, okay, now you say it in that game term, you're like, okay, so it's very controlling, and I have this board state that I can keep, where red-black's like, I'm just gonna go nuts and just rip it apart. So having other games that are similar has been very good. I've had a couple of smart people ask me, you're like, oh, what games are similar to yours? And that's pro question right there.
Yes.
But yeah, it's good to have those things to relate to, because sometimes if you're just reaching like the skirmish game I had mentioned earlier, magic chess is the best way I can explain it. And it's like, even that's not what it is. Like, which is why this has been on the back burner, because monsters are way cooler than what I was doing. But, so.
I grew up playing simple card games with a deck of cards, like Jin. You just keep the cards in your hand, and blah, blah, blah. So the first time I ever saw Magic was, I want to say it was Chris, because I have a very vivid memory of watching Chris and probably Tony play a game. And the coolest part of Magic for me was when you tap the cards.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was cool. I was like, wait, you're using a card in a manner of, it stays on the table? Like, yeah, you used it. It doesn't go away. Yeah, it's tapped. You untap it, and the tag, I just thought the fact that you could, like, continuously build up, and I think that's why Dominion really, I thought, was awesome, because it's building. You get to keep the cards, you know, and keep playing with them.
To the Storm Coppers.
Flood your deck. So. Well, then I played with a guy, David, her cousin, who he'll grab coppers and then burn them later on and then use them to help him out. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, you have to have a witch or something like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
On.
But Phil, who's part of Dulucon, has reached out to you about board games. I mean, he's got shelves that, like,
there's a
line,
room probably the size of this room, but it's got, like, a shelf going around, like, the entirety of the whole thing, and then it's got bookshelves going down the sides, and, like, every single thing is packed.
Well, shelves are, like, bold, because there's so many board games on them. But
I got, when the video store went out of business, I grabbed some of their racks, so it looks like an 80s, like, video store, and I've got most of my stuff displayed up there, but not that much, because, again, wife and children.
Yeah,
But yeah, I've got my game room, and the how I got that was, at least it's not in the rest of the house. I was like, you're right.
We're quarantining it to that.
Yeah, you bet. But yeah, like you said, where I'm a sucker for game mechanics. Like, if I see something neat, like the whole reason I dove into X-Wing was their movement dial.
Yeah,
I thought that was the neatest thing I'd ever seen. I was like, oh. Well, yeah, I get to spin something and it says where it goes. Like, it's kind of like playing like cars when you were a kid, but with rules. Like, I love to like gametize everything. Like, it helps me just like conceptualize the world in general. Like, if I can figure out how to like say it in game mechanics, I understand it that much more.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, it's just that tap. There's something about how a board game is played that really gets appealing to me. Oh. So I'm just for those kind of games.
Let's go. Can we dial it way back down to the basic mechanics? You got the icebreaker game.
If you could transform into one animal, what would you transform into? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about like game mechanic games being fun. Like, as a kid, you've got the dentist gator game. You've got Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Icebreaker.
You've got the icebreaker with
the...
The only one you mentioned was Hungry Hungry Hippos, and I know what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
Did you ever play Cooties?
Yeah, yeah, where you build the cootie.
Yeah.
My girls love that game. Oh. Like, any Hasbro game is like that icebreaker one.
Oh, man, there's so much fun in the Barrel of Monkeys. You pick the monkeys up with the other monkeys. And Kara's mom always gets us really cool Christmas, like, stocking stuffers. She got us Barrel of Monkeys recently. And it is fun to sit and try to see a chain. Like, Hacky Sack. Somebody will get like reach out and get like a cool save, and it's like, man, that was sick. That was awesome.
Right.
You know, and it's like, how are just these basic things that are still core values of gaming are really fun. So like Hack Sack and like making the monkey chain and everything. But it's super fun. And something as simple as, like I said, watching Chris like tap his cards, that made me want to try Magic. Just because it was the coolest thing. And then the interactions. But to me, Magic suffers from, like, power creep.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to a point where it's, like...
Yeah, when I started playing, there was, like, the Gen 1, the original guys were like, oh, power creep, it's not even the same game anymore. Ugh. I was like, whatever, old man, go play with your 17 mana 3-3s then. Right? Yeah. And now I've become that old man where it's like, power creep has just wrecked the game.
It I has.
Even, you know. I go on tirades about Planeswalkers and what a...
No way! So I was just about to say Planeswalkers are what ruined it for me, because yes! It's like it made the game I couldn't understand it at that point.
I hate them. It's you are now adding in another player to this game, which before, like, now I'm already, like, having to deal with your dumb stuff, and I'm doing my best to keep this PG as I can.
Yeah.
So the hate
fire. Passionate about this.
Because it wrecks it.
It does. Wrecks it. Absolutely
it. And it's like, well, now I have to decide, do I deal with this guy or do it's a feel bad situation the whole time.
Absolutely.
It's an entire, like, life points. Like, he gets life points out of it.
Yeah,
he gets abilities
ridiculous.
Out of it. He now I have to separate my stuff. It's absolutely asinine to me that they, that's a fine word, that they put those in there.
Right.
Hate it.
Yes,
hate
absolutely.
It.
So the coolest deck Chris had made was just a simple discard deck, and it would just grind through people's cards. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. Like, the mechanic was I had learned in, like, a red style deck, right? Either mm-hmm. instant damage or I like big creatures. That was, like, what I played. And then white was really cool because you could, you know, you had a little bit of protection, or you had these first strike creatures or things like that.
Yeah, really efficient.
So like, that was a step up for the mechanics. I was like, oh, cool, I can do this a little bit more. But when he made the discard deck, I thought that was even cooler because now you're playing outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You're winning by making them get rid of all their cards. I just thought it was the coolest thing. You don't have to deal any damage. You can
no.
Or you deal damage making them discard.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so cool.
And as a little tie-in to it, so I love Magic in the fact that you, it's like the Harry Potter house or Ninja Turtle. Like, you have an identity. Like, you're like, maybe I play this, but, like, I identify as, like, these colors, or I steer it. And it's that's the brilliance of the game, is that you can feel really personalized to your deck.
Right.
Where you make something that's you. I have a blue-green graveyard use deck. It's a dredge deck, but I don't have a lot of dredge mechanic in it. But the whole thing is that they're up there, these horror monsters that just get bigger with the more creatures you have in your graveyard, and it's like, it feels mean. I can pilot that really well, but it can go against somebody who has a control deck, or, you know, and that's their play style. Again, Kyle, I called you last time, you blue-white, control players. Anyways,
nobody likes control players except for control players.
Except for control players. It's a perfectly legal way to play. It's in the rules.
They don't like playing the game. They like stopping other people from playing the game.
You can't play the game.
So you know what would be fun? If you didn't do anything.
Yeah. What if you just don't play the game and I win? So with All Hallows Eve, what I have brought that into it, where all of my monsters that are added in have a different play style. So it can get to those people who are like, I don't really like this, like, mask, slow, heavy hitter. You know, something that's just brutish and slow and thuggish, and there's combos in there, but it's a bit more straightforward. So, you know, maybe a little discard and a little tricks. So maybe you do Mischief. He's a bit faster. He's not as strong, but he's got more board control and hand control. Okay, well, maybe that's not your style. I want to see how the board progresses and really bide my time and be smart about it. Well, you're going to play with Noita. She's the sniper. She builds up slow, and then endgame is just, like, halfway across the map, and, like, there's a trick-or-treater.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
See? Already identifying.
See? Right. And then to have other monsters that come in, there's a secret fourth monster that's not in the pack yet. But some of the playtesters have played it. They you have to have at least one other monster to play, and I'm working on if that's necessary, because there's times when I'm like, you know what? If you're playing this game, you're usually playing with a couple people anyways.
Right.
But it uses a discard pile, and I'm a huge fan of using the discard. When the Digimon game comes out, I'm probably going to use purple because they use a discard. number one fan. There's like four of
them. This podcast brought to you by Digimon.
Yeah, I was going to say, what we're going to have to just do is when they come out, if you've got enough to, like, supply Kara and I to play around with you, we'll play Digimon
I
with
would,
you.
I would just
We'll
adore
set the table
that.
Up. We'll play Digimon with
I,
you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I was going to say, how
thank
do you play Digimon?
We'll learn.
Yeah, you'll learn. I'm learning. We'll learn.
Gwen says chaperone for the win.
Yeah. So, chaperone, is that what you're asking? What does chaperone do?
Well, so real quick before you answer that, I just want to say Jim chimed in on, like, different games and stuff. He says you gotta try Oregon Trail board game.
I've been wanting
he to. He dies in snake
is,
by the
time. It is. It's really good? Fun.
Oh, it's super easy to play.
Chris introduced me to Cards Against Humanity. We haven't even jumped on that bandwagon until. Humanity. So he got us.
We need
the Star
to
buy
Munchkin
version.
Too. Munchkin's a whole.
That game took me forever to like. I did not like Munchkins. Really? I have one copy because everyone wants to play Munchkins. I got it last fall. Fall I played, and I finally clicked for me and go, this is why people like this game.
Yeah. I've got a couple expansions for it too.
Yeah,
I got the zombie expansion. Actually. Yeah,
I have the Pathfinder one. That's the one at home because it was cheap because no one else wanted it, and I was like, "Sweet, going on the shelf so I can say I've got it, and those people can stop whining about it, and we can play Munchkins."
I've never
and we
played
got
Munchkins.
It's fun. It is. I will revert any negative things I had said about it before. I do enjoy Munchkin.
Villainous is a good game.
Yeah,
haven't played that one, but I've heard a lot of good things.
It's good. We have that, and then we've got which expansion do we have?
That's my beef with Villainous. Is it's quick to set up, but it's
long to play.
It's weird. I don't know. I want to like Villainous more than I do. The tokens are awesome and the concept is cool. Let me put it to you this way. It takes too long to learn every character. Every character has a different objective. So
okay.
You could literally play the game by yourself technically if you wanted to just learn the character. If you knew how to play all the characters, then it would be fun because then you could jump in and then actually switch. But it, and then that's the same thing is you, there's two ways to play it. You play your objective, but then half of the playtime you are messing up other people's objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And it really creates, like, there's some characters, Ursula is almost impossible to play because it's so easy to mess up her objective that, like, you can play an easy trick on somebody or something, and then they can't finish the game. It's tough.
And then, too, you come against a skilled player in that who maybe does know, and you're a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing with All Hallows Eve, that I have cards and dice for a reason. Some people are not going to like the chance of random. I hate walking into a room with somebody who's mathed out the game and says, I've already won this game. Secret Hitler is one of those games where you can play some rule like wordplay, but one of my friends is so good at math that he knows whether you're lying, even if because I have a silver tongue, baby. I can lie my way anywhere I need to. But this guy, he's like, no, you're wrong because the math is this, and he'll explain, he'll dumb down the math for everybody, and they're like, oh yeah, you're wrong. And I'm like, is it the legal way to play? It's like, it's boring though. It's at that point, then it's not boring. It's still a fun game, but it's a feel bad moment.
It takes one of the core aspects of the game away from it, which does make it less fun.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean, where this is where I have randomness. So, like, the dice rolls and the cards come up. Like, you might really know how to pilot this, this monster around. But if you're the chaperone, you're like, oh, I know my trick-or-treaters, but maybe one doesn't get there, or you draw a different candy card than you're hoping for, it gives new players a chance to catch up. Like, old vets will know, these are my combos, these are the things I'm looking for, these are some good things. But you never know what you're going to roll with the dice. I have one that rolls a D12. You can still roll a 1 and a 12. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the odds are forever in your favor. But that movie is so pertinent now. Anyways.
A grim foretelling of our current state.
Yeah. I'm just going to go back and cry on break. That's cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to work that into a game because of that, like, you have so many other things going around. Like, all you have to do is focus on your one guy and know how that one works, and you still have a chance. And you can go against pros and be good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Any other comments you want to grab, Chris?
Gabe just said it's been years since he played board games. Well, get ready to get a lot of suggestions. Actually, so what I want to do now, anybody who's watching that has any questions for Daryl about the game, about the process of him coming up with it, how it works. I do want to hear about the chaperone character in a moment here. But if anybody has any questions, write them in while you guys are formulating your questions.
We should
go ahead and do some Star Wars leaks real quick.
All right. Did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. The new season, October 30th.
So excited.
I am so excited.
It is wonderful.
That was a silver lining. I want to, while Chris is pulling it up, we watched Mulan, and I was very disappointed.
Yes.
I didn't even give it a try, I'm going to be honest. I just knew
we were on the fence on whether to do the whole, that's a whole other argument, the whole $30 when you already have a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill, who's just absolutely awesome, he wants to show it to some of the kids and stuff that he worked with. So we're like, absolutely, let's get it.
Sure.
So we watched it, and it was just, that's a bummer. Disney needs to stop remaking, do live-action remakes.
And this is, again, an unsubstantiated rumor, something I've been picking on. Apparently, Disney might be doing a live-action Digimon series.
Really?
Which
interesting
frightens me. But to head back to The Mandalorian, that saved a lot of the series. It felt so good, and as like a person who really loves props and really loves like nitty gritty details and realistic stuff, The Mandalorian brought back what I think like the original three the other ones lost sight of by big CGI special effects, and obviously they're in there still to make things easier, but man, it's a western, it's a samurai flick again, like it is exactly what Star Wars had been. And I know I'm probably beating the bush, but like
no, it's awesome. I love it. It's the Beskar steel, the little firefly, like the little fireflies, the going down and meeting the people underground, and the thing that scuffed up stormtrooper armor. There's enough familiarity that gives you the nostalgia with enough of its own unique story to tell, and the cameos. You know, Bill Burr was in it, and the guy I love, the IT crowd, and
God bless
the guy Not the Scottish guy, the other guy. He was the voice of the robot-looking, crazy fly-looking
Roy.
Robot. Moss is
the one with the
Moss.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so funny. Oh man, I love the IT crowd. But anyways, so
you
just
bonk off.
The fun. It was just great. The Darksaber was some cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. There's one of those like couch jump up moments where my wife's like half asleep and she's like, "Why did you move so fast?" I'm like, "It's a dark lightsaber. You don't understand." I mean, they said in the Rogue One they had a little diagram, so we knew it existed in canon. And she's like, "I don't care. See, I love."
Have you watched Rebels?
What's that?
Have you watched the TV show Rebels?
I haven't yet. I meant to. I haven't gotten
check
around
it
to it.
It's also in there as well.
It's in there.
Yeah. Oh, and I know I knew that it was in there. I have a buddy who's told me all about it.
It's also in Clone Wars.
Yes.
But
like
live
a
action.
Yeah, live action is what, yeah.
Yeah, like when I saw Moff getting
I was just buying time while
like,
you pulled up Star Wars leaks.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let Chris tell us what's going on.
We are a Star Wars podcast. We claim anyway. So occasionally
we were just talking about Star Wars.
So we do have to talk about Star Wars. I wasn't paying attention.
I can talk about X-Wing all night. That's Star Wars.
I want to talk about that too.
What better way to talk about Star Wars than to go and look at unsubstantiated rumors, news, and other leaks on r/StarWarsLeaks. So we sort these are the five top posts from the past week on r/StarWarsLeaks. The top thing is from 3 days ago. The Mandalorian starts streaming October 30th. Just basically a Karma Farm post. Jeff Goldblum says he discussed a project with Taika Waititi that has to be secret right now after an interview mentioned The Mandalorian.
Ooh. He directed the Jawa episode, I believe.
Okay.
Oh.
So if you know his work, that's his work. That was his contribution.
And he's also signed up to do...
He's writing a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So that is... loved the Jawa episode. Oh my goodness, with the mudhorn and the...
I know.
You mess with
so
Mando,
good.
You get Force Hando.
I thought he was doing a TV show too, like a female-led TV show. I thought I heard.
I think you're right.
Yeah, okay.
John Boyega says, "I'm the only cast member whose experience of Star Wars was based on their race." I don't know exactly what the detail or context behind that
is.
But
I have heard that some stuff, like John Boyega came out and said some stuff, and that Disney kind of hush-hushed it by announcing, like throwing out the announcement of The Mandalorian same day kind of thing, which overrode it, and I don't know. It's kind of a hot mess.
Interesting. So, like, I guess I can see, because, like, everybody, like, the initial reaction was like, "Oh, Black Stormtrooper," or whatever. Like, some of the people, and not everybody, obviously,
right.
But... You know, so it's like I can see how that was sort of like taint the experience, like where everybody else's journey through Star Wars is described by what their character does, and he's like, "Oh, you're the guy who was a Black Stormtrooper."
Got it.
There's a picture of the season 2 Mandalorian production crew patch.
Oh,
I want it.
So we'll go work on season 2 of The Mandalorian, and you can have one.
I would love to. If you guys want to hire me, I'll come and help out.
Yeah, I fit in most of the little thing costumes, so you let me know.
You can play teenage angsty Yoda.
Oh, would I ever?
I have said it so many times. I am the same height as a stormtrooper. call me.
Kara and I's dream job is to go be a stormtrooper at Galaxy's Edge.
You're 6'1", I'm 6 feet. Clone troopers were 6 feet, and that's kind of the standard for stormtroopers.
There's a bloody Ewok, so. Cool, yeah, have fun in your cool costumes, guys. Great.
Just be I mean, Death I have to play Jabba the Hutt,
so don't worry about yes, yeah.
If you ever get a chance to go to Disney World or Disneyland and check out Galaxy's Edge, the Stormtroopers dialogue is the greatest thing to happen to the planet.
No
they
way.
Are so on point with the conversations and things that they do. They break character and they'll do, or not even, they'll act. It's awesome. There's a lady in a wheelchair and she was just like telling him to get out of her face. And they went up to her and they surrounded her and they just started really busting her chops. And so she was like throwing it back at her and the guy's like, did you just say that to me? Did she just say that to me? Look at this human. And they're amazing. They do such a good job. They really sell it.
They harassed you when we were down there.
Oh, they like,
how many times did you get stopped? Like 4 times?
Yeah, Kara just wanted to get stopped because she had a Stormtrooper ID.
I bought a stupid Stormtrooper ID and the losers never stopped me. I wanted to be like,
because one of them stand in the range and knew.
Yeah.
Because she was going to wait because they'll say, let me see some ID or whatever. And then now people always like.
I was going to grab my little expandy thing, go, yeah. There it is, and then let it go and let it zip back. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they were yelling at me. They're like, you seem awfully interested in your data pad. You know, it's on my phone. You know, whatever.
And it's the one like doing all the missions and stuff for the rebels on for the resistance.
They packed so much stuff into it.
Oh my gosh, I could live there.
So did you, probably have, I'll tell the story. I've told it before, but I'll tell it to you. Chris, Kara, and I were all standing in front of an X-Wing. We were nerding out hard. So we were talking about the difference.
As one
does. The engine's difference between the Resistance X-Wings and the Rebel X-Wings.
And you're comparing it to an F-16 as well.
Yeah, and like the size.
I asked how big it was compared to, because I had never stood next to an F-16, but I was standing next to this X-Wing.
Right.
So for comparison's sake, how big is it compared to an F-16?
Right. So we are, now we had seen like the actors and stuff walk around. And if you, as a patron of Disneyland, are walking around and you try to go up to one of these actors, they'll just walk away. That's what they do.
Okay.
So we were standing there and we were just so into what's going on. All three of us, Kara and him, we're all like looking in this X-Wing. All of a sudden, a shadow comes over my shoulder and I turn around and it's Chewbacca.
No.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
Way.
And it was so
I'm getting
awesome.
Goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, Chris, Kara, and I, we all look at him and he goes, and he points, and Kara had you a bandolier on?
I had my crossbody, or like my crossbody purse on, so like it looked like, you know, Chewie's bandolier.
So he like pointed at her bandolier and he like roared about that.
And you were wearing the Falcon t-shirt, Falcon.
Yep.
Whatever,
so he like
Star Wars.
He like gives me a thumbs up, my shirt goes, you know, roars, and then he pats me on the head and I lost it.
Because he's 7. And he's like,
then he looks at Chris and he like looks at his beard and then he strokes his hair. It was the coolest thing. And
that was worth it right there.
It was. It was absolutely worth
it. All I need is Galaxy's Edge and Meilu Run juice and I could be a happy, happy girl.
Non-alcoholic juice there. And then we get to try the blue milk, and then they have the green milk from where Luke's stranded. They did an unbelievable job.
Awesome.
They have a drink that makes your mouth go numb. That was alcoholic.
It's got like a numbing foam. That's when
it
you
was
drink
amazing.
Your
I actually just breathed some in when I was trying
choked.
It.
Oh,
it went up my nose. I was like,
that's what Chewie came over for. He's like, oh, it's a mate.
So that was a big long tangent on Star Wars. Sorry, but
can we go back? Please.
We would have been
2022.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Conrad, anybody know who Jeremy Conrad is?
I do, but I don't ask me where.
On Twitter, he said, I've heard Mando season 2 described as mind blowing, and that's not a phrase people use for a season having big problems. Apparently, people have been saying that Mandalorian season 2 has been running into problems, but if it's mind blowing, probably not.
He's a Marvel comic.
Okay.
Person. Although he just said that Mulan was really good, so now I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But how much do you think they're paid
right.
to
yeah,
you say this is push that brand?
That's true.
That's so funny. Somebody commented, they're like, who is Jeremy Conrad and why do people give what he says so much credence? So, interesting. Things you learn every day. But he has something to do with Marvel, so.
Oh, and then the last thing is Lego Razor Crest renamed due to copyright claim.
Yeah, that's so funny. So I can tell you that story. Just we got the Razor Crest Lego. We
literally just built it
yesterday, and so that video is coming out on Brickable and soon
whenever I get done editing
whenever
it.
Chris gets done.
But it was trademarked. The name was trademarked in the United States, but it was not trademarked over in Europe. So a different off-brand company went ahead and trademarked it. So now over in Europe, the Razor Crest is sold over there, the Lego one, or any toys, I would guess, as the Mandalorian Transport Shuttle.
Oh, my gosh!
The Mandalorian Bounty Hunter Transport.
The Mandalorian Bounty Hunter Transport
that
Shuttle.
That sucks. So,
bummer.
So it amazes me that like somebody like Disney can still...
if George Lucas was calling the shots, that would still... He wouldn't let that slide.
No, ooh, heck no.
We got some comments to get to here. So Brad said, Brad's watching. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
That the guy that I asked who he was is a paid opinion.
Oh.
So, and then what you just said is what I replied. Oh, with like five O's. Gabe says, I can bring you in hot or I can bring you in cold is the best Mando quote.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Jim was wondering, are you using minis for your game? And then he has a Digimon question when you're done answering that.
Okay, yes. Yes, I am using miniatures. Currently, I have three being made for monsters. It was just a pool that was too deep for me to dive in. Mimi's husband actually was going to be working on them for me, but I found a guy out in L.A. who's been doing it for a little bit, so he's willing, working on that. I've made all the little trick-or-treaters because they're little blobular cute things, so I was that was within my skill set. But absolutely, figures bring so much to a game. I hesitate to use figures sometimes because I don't like to take away people's imagination from them. I really hate a game that, Dungeon Roll. That's another game I absolutely love. Dungeon Roll and, Boss Monster is a fun one. But, in Dungeon Roll, like, you get these character cards you can use, and it's a dice game. Like, you don't need anything for it. And the dice themselves evoke a lot of imagery for you. But then you get this character card. It's like, I don't want to be this busty witch or this, like...
Speak for yourself.
But, like, there's just something that takes me out. Like, I want to, like, in my head look like me. So with the skirmish game I had been working on, I wanted to make it very, like, shapes, abstract shapes. This was a thief, a knight, like, an archer, and leave it at that.
Right.
And, like, then you can put yourself so much more into that. But yes, so on this one, I am using miniatures because at the end of the day, I love minis. Right. And, you know, sometimes people will buy a game just to paint the minis, so yeah. That's cool too.
He was wondering what they're made out of. Are they plastic or?
Resin. So right now, I have a resin Elegoo Mars 3D printer. I'm having some plate issues with it right now, so anybody out there who wants to hit me up with some ideas? I've readjusted, I've cleaned. I think it might be my screen on the bottom. I'm working at about half capacity right now, which sucks because.
Ugh, yeah.
Yep. I'm on a deadline and I can't be doing that. But I'm legging forward until some help arrives. But the resin one was an upgrade. My buddy Justy Frickman had a 3D. I can't think of the wire right now. Term, but PLA. It was going good, and I was like, "What's that?"
PLA.
PLA, yes, yeah. Yes, thank you. And I was like, oh, this is the new way. This is going to be great. And I was able to, like, paint some of them, make them look nice. And had that been the way we went, I would have been fine with it until I got in with a company and said, okay, you can make out of good stuff. Absolutely such an upgrade doing the resin. Yeah. It is insane.
Well, with, like, the 3D leave, like, little...
With PLA, lines. You get the print lines, but yep. With resin, you don't. You can print, or not nearly as bad.
But if you use ABS, you can use acetone to smooth it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get ABS is harder to print than PLA. Yeah. It's not forgiving. But Jim just talked about PLA, literally resin printing last night. Yeah. Literally resin printing last night.
Yeah, literally last night. Like, he stopped by to drop off some drinks for us because we couldn't leave because we were in the middle of shooting something.
Oh, yeah. I had to scrape right before I came here. I had a print that was going off, and I was like, oh, got to get that before I go so I can keep it rolling. The thing I really like about it is it's the reverse of the PLA where, like, I can print a bunch if everything's working at one time and it takes just as long as if I print one.
Right.
Where it's the opposite. So that's been really nice. And there's just way more high quality. Yeah. I rarely see if there's a line or anything. And smattering a paint on there, if you paint your minis, it's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Jim says resin for minis is hands down the best choice. So.
Thank you.
You got to watch. There's a guy just for if you sound very busy, but the Craftsman on YouTube is absolutely
the
awesome.
Craftsman.
The Craftsman?
The Craftsman, not the Craftsman.
There's no T.
Oh.
The Craftsman. Yeah.
Nice.
He's hilarious.
He's awesome. He does such a good job, but he's very much into like custom minifig, all that stuff.
His voice is very soothing to listen to.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Like, Black Magic Craft.
You know? He's like, so just, cool.
Yeah.
Gabe says he has a Resin Mando statue and it's amazing.
Oh, cool.
Sick.
That's awesome. Haven't got to print anything fun out of my printer yet because I'm doing this game 24/7. Yeah. I'm like, man, a Pokeball would be kind of cool right now.
My favorite thing is The Witcher, the House of Cat.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I printed Witcher. The Witcher right now for Kara.
Because I'm working on Ciri's costume.
I'm trying to print Obviously, Stormtrooper
Obviously, it's, you know, kind of on hold.
I want to print Captain Rex from Star Wars.
Oh, but, my gosh.
So PLA is fine for the large scale stuff because it's easy to sand if you're doing it big.
And you've done Ciri's sword for me, too.
Yep, it needs to be put together. And then a thermal detonator. I love how that turned out.
Adam Savage did a cool maker's build on it. Love his channel. I mean, everybody knows him, but like...
Hey, you know what's cool about Adam Savage?
This is just a weird tangent.
We were on Force Fest last weekend, which was a big virtual Star Wars convention. We were the second to last panel.
Yeah.
The panel after us was Adam Savage.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
So if he tuned in early, he loved to watch us build Legos. So
and he loved it. He just finished sorting his Legos.
Oh my gosh. I religiously
I wouldn't be surprised because he talked about Noling and stuff like that and he likes Legos.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if he saw and he probably
I bet
Adam Savage could have been watching us last week.
I would bet. And if he then thought you guys were cool and then watched this, hi, thank you.
You can pick up your copy of All Hell is Eve by contacting Daryl Davey directly on Facebook.
Please, I'd love it.
I think that's something that he'd be into. He loves.
I think he'd dig
like
it. Yeah. Yeah, it's all handmade. Yeah, dude, he'd love it.
That's the best part about doing this stuff. Did you ever watch like Futurama at all?
Yes.
I love Futurama.
So Phil Lamar is the voice of Conrad.
Hermes.
We did a Star Wars
every day. Shaking Jamaican.
At the beginning of this year, we would make daily Star Wars videos, and we worked our butts off on them, and they just didn't do as well as we were hoping they would. But we did the Twi'lek that got dropped and eaten by the Rancor.
Ula.
That is, what's her name?
Femi Taylor.
We did a happy birthday shout out to her on her birthday and made this little video. Just because I sent it to her on Facebook, she replied back to me, watched it, thought it was awesome. She wrote me back, so I've got to talk to her.
Her boyfriend then friend requested me.
And then
Kara's breaking galactic hearts over here.
Yeah, yeah. And then Phil Lamar, we did one about him because he was he did a Star Wars character, a voice of a Star Wars character. So we did one about him. He wrote back or liked the video. His actual account did.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. So these little interactions we're having with these people, it's like I've watched so much Futurama and watched so much of these stuff that he's been in.
Yeah.
To just know that he took and watched 30 seconds of something we made was the coolest thing in the world. I thought the same thing. And when Chris found out Adam Savage was on, he's like, are you sure? Are you sure he's on after us? Are you sure? Where does it say that? Because it didn't.
He's a top five all-time favorite person to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's like... One of the, like, I love everything he does. I just can't, that's all just the long and short of it.
So what they did for this one is they wanted to finish strong. So that was the most watched, they came out with the statistics.
I mean, of course,
that was
they'd
like,
end with us, and then,
that was the most
we
watched panel.
We opened for Adam Savage.
Yeah,
that's really the way you got to present it. Yeah.
They only said he was the most watched panel.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, afterwards, there were like 18.2 thousand views.
Jeepers.
Like, I think, like, when... Like, when we were just sort of checking against other stuff, like, we were definitely in the upper echelon.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, and then...
The streaming platform wants us to stream there coming up.
And they want
to
promote us on there.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
It's
I mean, we did something right.
So, swinging back around, so Jim has been asking a bunch of stuff here. Actually, I'm going to check for some new comments, but he does have a Digimon-related thing.
Okay, God bless. All right.
We're caught up on comments. He's wondering if you've seen the 6 or 7 part movie or any of the newest season of Digimon. He said they got a few episodes out and then stopped because of Walmart, and it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I watched Try. I will try to keep this as brief as I can so we can, because this is going to be a one-sided conversation. And I get that. I watched Try. I liked a lot of what they tried to do with it. No pun intended. But visually, very pleasing. Some of the story, like, messages in there were really neat. I think they tried, had it either been a 3-part thing, or they put, like, almost filler arcs in a movie series, which was really bizarre to me.
Classic anime.
You got your swimsuit episode that nobody, like, wife or mom's always going to walk in on. And it's like, I watch it for the story. And, you know... the school outing. But no, I did enjoy. I probably liked it more than most people. I had it been abridged or shorter, I think I would have even enjoyed it more. At first, with the new series that's come out for Digimon, it's fun because they have familiar beats of the original 01 season, if you ever watched it.
That's classic. I love it. I have it on DVD.
It's wonderful. It was the first anime that I have. Like, I think that's why I've always been so obsessed with Digimon, because I was like, there's a story to this, and then it gets heavy and dark, and they take some serious turns, and you're like, oh, this is nuts. So anyways, it's not like, I got him, Pikachu! And I love I love Pokemon, don't get me wrong, but up until this newest season of it, it's been... for a while. Anyway, back to Digimon. I like a lot of what they're doing in the stakes, and I don't know what the English dub's going to be like, but the stakes seem so much higher. They're like, we could die. Like, they're not, like, candy coating around the edges. They're like, yeah, these Digimon are out to actually kill us. And, like, if we don't succeed in this, like, Tokyo's in a blackout right now, and they, like, the first few episodes felt very rushed to me. There was part of our War Game, which is a Digimon movie, that just got, like, half shoved into a weird thing, and it just felt really rushed and unearned, a lot of these like connections and emotions. But now the way that they're going, even though it still seems kind of fast, everything's seeming very earned and very well thought out. I at first was very concerned about the pacing, but I think they're like, we're gonna hit these nostalgic beats, we're gonna set this stuff up, get it out of the way, so then we can really get into the meat, and the way they're handling has been really rad. So
awesome.
Yeah. Sorry. That's my Digimon rant for the night.
No, that's totally cool. I love Digimon.
I like the Jim commented and he got to get a response live. I just think it's cool. I love live.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yep. It's one of my favorite things. So actually, so speaking about live, so we've been going for about an hour and a half.
Oh, cheapers.
Wow.
So
we need to fire up. Yeah.
We're going to take about 10 minutes. We're going to end the stream. We're going to set up our Lego build setup so we can actually capture everything appropriately. And we're going to do some gameplay of All Hallows Eve. So if you guys want to see a little bit of the mechanics of how it works and then still be able to be like, hey, what's going on with that or whatever, you can have more direct questions for Daryl if you want. But we're gonna shut down for right now for about 10 minutes, and then we'll be right back with the post-show playing some All Hallows Eve. Oh, let's hope this button works. Oh, gosh, of course, got to manually throw to the outro. What a pain in the butt. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. If you've made it this far to the video, you've made it to the end of the video. Go ahead and give this a like. It shows you want to see more content like this. Comment down below with anything you want to know about All Hallows Eve, or any questions you have for Daryl, or if you just want to make fun of Jeremy or something. Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell to be notified every time we upload a video or go live. Thank you guys so much for watching, and of course,
may the force be with you.